the Centers for Spiritual Living theme is financial health and prosperity. And that, of course, is in every area of our lives. Prosperity is about finances. Prosperity is about health. Prosperity is about love and friendship. Prosperity is about creative activity. And it flows through every area of our lives as we open up to it. So today is about a wise investment. How are we going to be investing ourselves in healthy, happy, productive, successful, loving, compassionate, wonderful life? Isn't it wonderful that there's no manual that says you have to do it this way or that way? We're given free will to choose for ourselves how to invest ourselves in this great creative, intelligent activity that flows through all life. And we have gifts. If we're not using them, it would be very much a shame. And a lot of people would lose, starting with us and then the whole world. I once read about the fabulous violinist Paganini, that he had this, of course, fabulous instrument, and he played it to perfection. But he had in his will that when he died, it would be given to his city of his birth and never played again. Do you know what happened to that violin? Do you know what happens to wood when it's not handled, loved, and played? It's full of worms now. It's worthless. It's a memory. It belonged to the master, to the great man. It was his gift, and he meant well giving it to his city of birth, but it wasn't exactly a good idea. We all have great gifts, and we wisely invest ourselves in those gifts, or we don't. Genoa, that was his city of birth. But you knew that, right? So the first wise investment is to become aware that there is an infinite life. It's spirit. It is everywhere present. And from it, each one of us was created. So what's true of the infinite, God is love, wisdom, peace, joy, creativity, abundance, wholeness. What's true of the infinite is true of each of us. See, that's the first awakening, is that it's not God and me, it's God as each of us. Wow, what a concept. How many of us have gotten over the old anthropomorphic, now I'll get my mouth fixed, but the old anthropomorphic God in the sky with a long beard and a black book making marks on it? Are we all over that? Okay, please, good. Because that never was so, people got a little bit confused, you know. Over the centuries, we as a people have created God in our image and likeness. Whether it was the ancient Greeks, the Egyptians, whomever it was, we've created something that we can understand, and now we get to move beyond our human understanding and remember that there is one life. The greatest investment we can make is sitting quietly every day and opening up our hearts and minds in meditation and feeling our oneness with this great creative, loving presence and power. I think we ought to be tithing our time to ourselves and to our great Creator. Imagine taking 6 minutes out of every hour to just be quiet and connect and feel that divine connection. Then the next thing, of course, the next great investment, wisest investment, is to remember that what's true of us in terms of right at the center of our being is that divine presence and power, is that it's true of each and every person that we encounter. Even the ones that are pretending to be otherwise. Especially the ones that are pretending to be otherwise. It is our holy job to be able to see through those appearances and connect. I do my work every day. There are times that I have to really look hard to see with my single eye. because people are trying to prove otherwise. They're trying to fool me. They're trying to make me think that they're doing mischief, or that that they're not awake yet. That's all that it is that we don't want to judge people. We don't want to judge ourselves, and we don't want to judge other people that they're bad or wrong. Maybe the more we awaken, we'll find other awakened people in our lives. I'm having a hard time with this word, but I know that it's out there now. Woke. I have a hard time with that. As an English major, it don't work for me. Even Oprah is saying it. Are you woke? Well, maybe I'll just get used to it. You know, maybe I just need to be a little more flexible. I can be flexible. I know that I can. So I want to discover the conscious, creative possibility within myself and within all other people. That's a very wise investment of my time and my energy. And as I do that, I prosper in, oh, so many ways. This choir, do you know they're going to be making their maiden voyage here next week? Woohoo! It's really exciting. And you know, it's amazing because we've got this wonderful music director now, Jonathan Flowers. Yay! And ever since I've been here, which is not even 3 years yet, I've heard people say, well, we really ought to have a choir. We once tried to have a choir, but it didn't work. We want a choir. And then I hear these voices throughout. And he would, when he first came, I don't know if you know this, but he'd sometimes walk around and listen. Oh, there's a voice there. Oh, there's a voice in row 14. And now we have the ways and the means through his love and his expertise to bring together these individual voices into a collective voice that's going to absolutely blow the roof off of here next Sunday. Don't miss it. Bring all your friends. Stop and pick people up on the way down 30. You got to come and hear this, you know. You can do it. It becomes greater when we join with others. And we find a connection with all living beings. That's a very wise investment of our time and our focus and our energy. It's essential to our health and to our well-being to connect with spirit and then to connect with others. You know, we have read about, heard about infants in orphanages who, and not even in orphanages, sometimes just in neglectful homes that do not thrive because they're not touched or held. You know, their physical needs are met in terms of they're changed and they're fed, but they're not touched and held. We require that connection, both physically, emotionally, mentally, mostly spiritually. And if we are isolated in any way, we do not thrive. Captain John served in the Vietnam War. And we have heard so many true stories. Thank God he came home safely. But there are servicemen who were captured and served and were years in what was called the Hanoi Hyatt? Hilton. The Hanoi Hilton, right. Years. Those who survived somehow had faith in something greater than where they were, and they also had a means of connecting with each other, a tapping system. They were in isolation, sometimes for years, and yet found a way to tap on walls unbeknownst to their captors so that they felt connected. It is a very, very wise investment for us to connect with that deep, loving, powerful presence within us and then to connect with others on that same level. We really must go beyond what it appears to be to what always truly is. We use the principles of science of mind, that is our teaching, to choose wisely and to give of our innate gifts. If we're not giving the gifts, if we're not developing them, we're not being true to ourselves and we're not living fully. The gifts must be given. So we use our finest resources to invest our time and our talents and our energies in those avenues that serve the greatest good. You know what those are in your own life. You're the only one who does know that. No one else needs to tell you, well, you should do this, or you should serve over here. Do what your heart is telling you to do. And then when we connect with spirit and with one another, we become these wonderful role models for other people. I want what you're having. Huh? People want to know, how is it that you seem to be living a peaceful life in the midst of all the chaos going around? Because my well is deep, you tell them. Because I'm connected to the recirculating fountain of divine life. And so are yours. Let's get connected together and see what we can do to make the world a different and a better place. So we're investing in our divine connection through spiritual practice, through meditation, through prayer and treatment. And then the energy, the light, the vibration of love just moves out from the very center of our being. Just as Georgie read in our expansion prayer treatment. It's about letting the beacon of our lights go out and that ping, right? Isn't that what the lighthouse does? The ping reaches others and we find ourselves in harmony with that. Do you love Martin Buber like I love Martin Buber? I thou, not it, it, not I, it, but I, thou, the beloved within me, the Christ within me, the Atman within me, the Buddha within me, beholds that same divine presence within you. Bless you. Oh, bless you. You are blessed, my child. You don't know how to do that. I never was one. That's okay. By the way, it was just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mass, funeral mass, for Karen's mom. Mom, isn't that a sweet name for a grandmother? At a gorgeous Catholic church in Exton. Do you know that God is fully present in the Catholic Church? Do you know that God is fully present in the Mennonite Church? Do you know that God is fully present in the synagogues and the mosques? Do you know that God is fully present under the oak tree? God is, God gets around, she says. That's good, Phyllis. But it was precious. It was really, really so sweet and so meaningful. And that priest knew your mom, didn't he? I love that. So, Martin Buber, he said, everything depends on inner change. When this has taken place, then and only then does the world change. Do you get that? It's our inner life that we pay attention to. This is a wise investment to pay attention to our inner life. Because when we do, we begin to expand our own consciousness to lift those around us. There's one mind, one infinite mind. It's the mind of God. And every time we think, we are giving access to that infinite mind to think through us. So why not elevate our thoughts? There's a great idea. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. So is a heart. Martin Buber also says, I think no human being can give more than this, making life possible for the other, if only for a moment. Well, that's a great gift, if only for a moment, to reach out a hand, to give a smile. You know, don't worry about it. If you're walking down the street and you smile at someone and they don't smile back, you haven't lost a thing. In fact, you've gained, because as you know, a smile is much more economical than a frown, right? It takes 101 muscles, I think, to frown, about 4 to smile. Do I need to tell you the rest of that story? Okay. I've told it to you before. I'll tell you to you one more time. My beloved Earl D. Barnum, my teacher Barney, taught us years ago that not only is it more economical to smile, but if you don't smile and your smile starts to turn down this way, you know, that glum look that people have that just won't smile, it goes down and down and down until it turns into big hips. You don't want that. Maybe you do. Barney taught me all that. What?
Barney
taught me that. There was a little girl in my Palo Alto Center, little Iris. Her mother was painted flowers, and so she was a beautiful artist, and the children were like that too. And Iris Rose was her name. All the children were named after flowers. And Iris was this little smarty. And all of our children are amazing in every fun day school, you know. So one day I was doing my wee wisdom with the children before they went to their rooms. And I said, well, Barney was my teacher. Barney taught us that. And she stopped and she said, Barney was your teacher? Picturing a big purple dinosaur. Yeah, you can picture Barney any way you want, but yes, he was my teacher. So we allow ourselves to smile. We allow ourselves to give that smile to each other. Even if it's just for a moment, we've given a great gift. Recently, someone opened up a discussion with me. I love these discussions about what if, and don't you think, and have you ever considered? And it was, well, we know that God sees only our wholeness. God does not see erroneous thinking and behaving. God's supposedly not aware of what we're going through, because if God were aware of all those problems we're having, we wouldn't be able to rise up in consciousness and join with that clear vision of the divine, which is whole, complete, and perfect. That's what we teach. But this person who's actually been in this teaching for quite a while said, I kind of like the idea of God knowing that I'm in pain. I kind of like feeling as though God knows I'm sad and not happy right now. And it really opened up an interesting discussion, because I've had people suggest this before. Well, if it's a God of compassion, doesn't God know what I'm going through? What about, you know, all the hairs on my head and the sparrows and all those wonderful things from Scripture? Well, that's sweet. It's beautiful. And what I think for now, because it's okay with me if I change my mind from time to time, like, don't hold me to what I said last year. I'm also growing. We're all growing. But what I think the answer to this is for right now is that you and I are the instruments of compassion through which we connect to others who are feeling pain, which is why we have caring hearts. This is why we lift each other up, that people fall down and get hurt, people become ill, people lose loved ones, people go through difficult times. And I still believe with all my heart that God sees us only as healthy and happy, prosperous, creative, and productive. If it were otherwise, I think we'd have a problem in this world. We need to have this awareness that there is one vision, and it's a vision of wholeness, and that's the divine that comes from the absolute. Remember, we're always moving from the absolute to the divine. I mean, from the absolute to the relative, the divine, the human. And what's so is we live both, and we do a graceful dance between the two. So what's maybe so is that I stub my toe, ow. I stub my heart, ow. But what's eternally true is that I'm made out of love, and that I'm whole and complete. And I love knowing that the divine sees you and me that way all the time. Otherwise, how could we come back to that place of awareness? But then we have you, and we have me, and we have each other to lift each other, to say, I am sorry for your loss. Let me hold you. Let's work together as we move through this. We are the instruments of God's compassion. Does that make sense to you? I like it anyway. Okay. Here's a reminder. A life withdrawn from service to others loses its meaning. Like the violin. A life withdrawn from service to others loses its meaning. And thinking of our veterans, and thinking of people who don't think of themselves as much as they do about all of us. And we can give in small ways. You know, you and I have the gift of choice, gift of imagination, the gift of right thinking, of surrendering to something greater, to connect with other beloveds to make a difference. And then I think back to that wonderful choir that is developing. Have you heard them rehearsing? Like, Mormon Tabernacle, move over. Because what happens when we have one voice joining with another voice, joining with another voice, and creating something amazing is that we're giving our shared gift to our world. I love Barry Manilow. You love Barry Manilow? There's a fundraiser that takes place in Palm Springs every year, a very elegant country club, elegant occasion. And I had the pleasure of going a couple of times to the McDonald golf course, where you go in your ball gown and your gentlemen are wearing their tuxedos, and you're given hors d'oeuvres and cocktails as you come in, and there's a silent auction with very expensive items and then a dinner and then your entertainment. And Barry Manilow, the first time I was there, he flew his entire group from Las Vegas at his expense to come for the fundraiser to raise funds for combating or solving the problem of AIDS. And I love him. I think he's a marvelous human being. And I love this. Think about all the people in the choir joining together now. And remember the song? One voice singing in the darkness. All it takes is one voice singing so they hear what's on your mind. And when you turn around, you find there's more than one voice singing in the darkness. Join in with your one voice, each and every note another rock, and hands are joined and fears unlock. If only one voice would start it on its own, you need just one voice facing the unknown, and then that one voice would never be alone. It takes just one voice. It takes just one voice singing in the darkness. All it takes is one voice. Shout it out and let it ring. One voice. Just one. What this is all about. This is the wisest investment that we can make. Join the choir. Say with me, I choose to open to the flow of creative intelligence.
I choose to open to the flow of creative intelligence.
I choose to join with others and share our gifts.
I choose to
I invite divine order and infinite wisdom.
I invite divine order and infinite wisdom.
To guide me in all my life investments.
To guide me in all my life investments.
And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.